Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, just last week we saw a lot of encouraging news out of primary day for the Wisconsin recall. Great turnout for Scott Walker, even though he had token opposition at best. His turnout was right around the total for both of the supposedly competitive Democratic candidates. Didn't turn out to be all that competitive. And now there's even more good news, as we're now less than a month away from the actual showdown between Walker and the man he beat 2 years ago, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett. Barrett won the Democratic runoff, but now it looks like the National Democratic Party either has more fish to fry elsewhere in the country, or they just don't see it as a good investment anymore. They're not going to do much to help Barrett in his fight against Walker. Perhaps they see the recall as a losing effort. Just to add a little more fun to the story, here's a great excerpt from a new ad from Scott Walker.
We kept our promise to balance the budget without raising taxes and without massive layoffs, protecting jobs, and eliminating a $3.6 billion deficit. We promised to hold the line on property taxes. And after years of tax increases, school property taxes actually went down.
Jim, why would we want to keep that guy?
You know, probably the most interesting thing that's happened on this front this morning was Stephanie Cutter, who is the deputy campaign chief for Obama, was on Chuck Todd's program. And he asked her, you know, will the Democratic National Committee, which is effectively controlled by President Obama, yes, Debbie Wasserman Schultz is the chair, but I mean, if Obama says, I want to help out the Wisconsin Democrats, the DNC will jump and say, how high, sir? You know, Cutter was asked, are you guys going to send money to the Wisconsin Democrats? Are you guys going to, you know, send money to help out the recall effort? And her answer twice was, I have no idea. She said, well, we're going to mobilize volunteers. We're sending out messages to our, you know, everything except money. And the Wisconsin Democrats will be the first to tell you, look, volunteers and sending out emails and such, that's all very nice. But in the end, a lot of modern campaigning is TV advertising, radio advertising. And, you know, money is the fuel that makes a campaign go. So two observations on this. The first is that there is no way that Stephanie Cutter, deputy campaign manager of the Obama campaign, does not know if they're going to play in Wisconsin.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is a swing state. This is 5 months before Election Day. They have $24 million in the bank, and Wisconsin Democrats wanted $500,000. They know whether they're going to do this. So her whole I don't know answer is not plausible. Here's the other thing, Greg. It's kind of something. It's a good philosophy to take towards all major decisions. If the answer is not yes, it is no.
That is a very good way to distill political speak right there. So, yeah, great news for Walker. The latest polls had him up 5. We'll see what the unions and everyone else has to do here to try and disrupt his apparent lead. But the unions are so dispirited from getting their butts handed to him in the Democratic runoff that who knows just how much they'll have left in the tank for this. But good news for Walker, and hopefully means the Democrats don't have quite the amount of money that they thought they were going to have at this point. But we'll find out. On to Martini number two now. And speaking of not having the money they thought they were going to have, let's go out to California, which, as several folks said that I saw yesterday, California is Greece. That's the American version of Greece right now, because Jerry Brown is now going on television and begging Californians to raise their own taxes. Quarter point on the sales tax, rich people are going to have to pay more. And he's basically saying, you know, it's almost double our deficit than what I thought it was going to be in January. And Jim, I remember back in, I think it was 2003, when a guy had just been reelected governor of California, and he was shocked by the huge amount of debt in addition to what he was expecting. That was Gray Davis. He didn't last very long. We got the Terminator as a governor for the next 7 years. So Jerry Brown, good luck out there.
Greg, when these guys run for governor, don't they ever do any research? Wouldn't you kind of want to know what the books of California are? Now, I exaggerate slightly. Of course, you know, financial circumstances can change. The economy can speed up. The economy can slow. But really, it's a pattern of everyone always is, you know, underestimating the deficit. And then they get into office and, oh, my goodness, I had no idea the deficit was this bad. And, you know, and remember, Jerry Brown was the former governor. He knew Sacramento inside and out, et cetera. He knew all the tricks. No, he's as gullible as anybody else. So if you are living in California, you have my sympathies. The Golden State is not what it once was. And with the current finances looking the way they are, it's not going to be what it once was for a long time, if ever. So life is pretty gloomy out in the Golden State. But I understand that there's been this renaissance in places like Texas, et cetera, with a slightly different philosophy towards governance. It seems to work. So,
yeah, that seems to work well. And California is exporting something pretty extensively these days. That's businesses, jobs, and rational voters. So that's going to add to California's electoral woes, meaning there are less sane people to help those of you who are listening right now who would like to reverse course. There are less people there to help you do that. So on to martini number three now. And today we're not talking about Elizabeth Warren, although we certainly could, because now we found out she's got 0% Cherokee blood. But anyway, on to martini number three now. And Jim, there are certain threats that our government has to be ready for when people try to enter airspace. The TSA, of course, has got their scanners. They've got their full-body pat-downs. But then what they should, of course, be looking out for is people who obviously fit a profile for terrorism. And no one feels that description better than an 88-year-old wheelchair-bound former Secretary of State. Henry Kissinger got the full Monty at a New York airport. He was in a wheelchair. They asked him to go through the full battery of put your hands out. He had to stand up. You know, they do what all they do with their hands, and had to sit back down. I can only imagine Henry Kissinger's rebuttal, Jim, to the TSA agents. It was, I would prefer to opt out of the scanner.
You know, it's right now there's some angry lefty out there saying, good, he should have been charged for war crimes, too. He might have bombs. He's going to drop on Cambodia while he's on the on the flight. On the one hand, I periodically wonder if the TSA picks these really stupid examples, the two-year-old, Henry Kissinger, et cetera. I don't mean that Henry Kissinger is a two-year-old. There's a comma in between those two folks I listed there. And they say, well, if they're really doing things this stupidly, it must be totally random, you know, that it cannot be biased. It cannot be a matter of, you know, getting the, you know, young, shifty-looking Middle Eastern guy who paid cash and bought a one-way ticket and, you know, hitting any of those trademarks. No, we really do pick the grandmothers out of line and, you know, frisk their walkers and all that such things. That's the only philosophy I can understand this, is that periodically they pick the dumbest examples possible to prove that there's absolutely, you know, that there's absolutely no rational judgment going on whatsoever. And I guess that's a way of, you know, assuring the public, no, don't worry, we don't use our minds. We don't use our skills of observation. We don't take any, you know, potential factors or patterns of past behavior into this. We do it totally randomly, so our chances of picking out an actual terrorist are completely random. I hope TSA is proud. I'm sure everyone feels safer knowing that, you know, Kissinger has gone through his full colonoscopy and, you know, the whole skin scan and all that kind of stuff. When they were talking about the scanner system that they were going to institute at airport lines, Greg, I remember thinking, like, you know, when I was over in Turkey, I mean, I would say they have all kinds of extensive airline security procedures over there. And I actually totally would trust the Turks with x-ray images that could see naked people, because there is such a culture of shame and propriety and behaving as a proper Turk over there that I actually would trust them with this ability. You knew that as soon as you put nudie scanning technology into the hands of TSA agents, you're going to see naked people all over the internet, and that, you know, our private parts would be all over the place, because we are, you know, in some ways we are a culturally a nature of 12-year-olds. And the only thing I can say is, Greg, I really, really hope we don't see nude scans of Henry Kissinger on the internet anytime soon.
Well, apparently he got the full pat-down, so I don't know if he had to go through both or what the deal
was. Oh, thank goodness. Okay.
But I would be willing to bet that if the screeners were our age or younger, they probably had no idea who he was.
True.
Which is very sad.
It's a shame, because they really should have known him from the movie Watchmen.
Hank, glad you made it through okay. And hopefully that won't happen again to you or anybody else. But of course it will, because, as we already explained, there's no rational logic to it. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Wednesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.